Let us pray. Anoint my lips, O Lord, to faithfully proclaim your holy word. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A type of public speaking or writing has as its goal persuasion. A persuasive speech is a type of speech where the goal is to convince the audience to accept the speaker's point of view or perform a desired action. The speaker uses words and visuals to guide the audience's thoughts and actions. We find this purpose of persuasion in 1 John chapter 4, as the Apostle Paul gives three reasons why believers ought to love one another, and in doing so, clarifies the meaning and call of God's love. So my first point is we ought to love one another because of God's own nature. 1 John 4, 7 and 8 says this, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love." The reason why Christians need to love one another is that in God's very and eternal nature, one of his attributes is that of love. John states that love is from God, and all genuine love for God and one another has its source in God himself and his own nature. The other statement in 1 John 4:8 is that God is love is a very profound statement because I think it goes beyond just saying that God has an attribute of love, but it's in the very nature of God that he is love. There's only a few other spots in Holy Scripture where it says God is. So we have one of them here. God is love. Elsewhere, God is light. And also, God is spirit. James Montgomery Boyce says this in his commentary on 1 John, quote, "In other words, God the Father is love, God the Son is love, God the Spirit is love. Therefore, if we know the God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we will love. It is difficult to see how the matter could be made simpler than this, or more pressing upon the conscience of a Christian," end of quote. As the Apostle John spells out that love is very basic to the nature of God, so the Christian's duty and responsibility to love God and one another is basic in following and obeying God because that is what God is. We are called to imitate God's own nature as we love one another. It is important that when John speaks about imitating God's basic nature to love him and one another, that this love is specific and particular. Especially during this time of Advent, I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. Love is not vague or nonspecific or general, as if we don't know how to do that. If we want to know what love for God means, we go to his written word and his requirements to us in the Bible. In Holy Scripture, and more particularly, the Ten Commandments show us how to love God and worship him, and how to love our neighbor as ourselves, as we respect our neighbor's life, his property, his family, and his name. These are specific and concrete ways that we show love for God and our neighbor. They are specific and not vague. We have enough with them to keep us busy for the rest of our lives here on this earth. And God's law reminds us how far we fall short of God's will, and of our need of God's mercy and forgiveness, and a renewed commitment to love God and his word and law. This is summarized beautifully in a response after each commandment in our communion service, in which we say, Lord, have mercy upon us and incline our hearts to keep this law. We are not just admitting our own wrongdoing and pleading for God's mercy. That is part of it for sure. But we are also seeking God to renew our commitment to love Him by inclining our hearts to keep His law. And in the words of this passage in 1 John 4:21, and this commandment we have from Him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. The love for God issues forth in love and respect for God's commandments and love for our brothers and sisters in Christ, and in fact for all people, for all people are made in the image of God without exception. Second point, we ought to love one another because God's gift of Jesus Christ, his Son. 1 John 4:9 and 11 says this, by this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Just as we know God the Father and God the Son, we will love and also love God's Son, which is an additional reason why we love. The Apostle Paul describes God the Father's gift of his Son for our salvation as an indescribable gift in 2 Corinthians 9:15. This indescribable gift of Jesus is the paramount gift, the supreme gift and demonstration of God's gift of his Son, as it's evident in the fact that Christ came for us, humbled himself, and submitted to the death on the cross for us. John reminds us that the love of God was manifested to us and in us, that God sent Jesus to die for us. And in doing so, it shows that God takes the initiative. God wasn't waiting for us to show him love. No, he first loved us and died for us that we might have eternal life in him. It is by Christ's death that he satisfied God's judgment against our sins. It is not just that Christ died for us sinners, but he died for us when we did not want him. We were in rebellion to him and his plan to save us. It is in this vein I want to remind us that love for God and Christ means we need to say what Scripture says about the identity of God's Son. 1 John 4:14 and 15 says this, we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. We must confess about Christ and show proper love for Christ by saying about him what God says about him, that he is the Christ, he is the Savior of the world. He was sent by God the Father into the world to be the Savior for the whole world. We cannot just invent a Savior to try to atone for our sins. We must love God and Christ, who has sent the one and only Savior for our sins. Everything that Jesus came to earth to do was for us. He was born for us. He lived for us, he died for us, and he rose again from the dead for us. In fact, in the middle of this passage, after speaking about Christ's sacrificial death for us, John reminds us of this truth in 1 John 4:11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. In other words, in that same way, in that same fashion. It is by following Christ's example in his redeeming death that we are to love one another and imitate that love. Now, it doesn't take much thought or reflection to realize how far we fall short of this mark. Sometimes we miss this mark by a mile, and sometimes by a continent. Again, we cry out, Lord, have mercy upon us and incline our hearts to keep this law. A third reason. So we've seen we love one another because it's in the very nature of God. We can say God the Father. We ought to love one another because of the gift of Jesus, God the Son. Third reason, we ought to love one another because of the work of God, the Holy Spirit in us. 1 John 4:12-13 says this, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. This passage speaks about God's love being perfected in us. God has perfect love, and since he is always and forever the same, his love in himself is eternally perfect. But what John is emphasizing is that his love in us is not yet perfected, and we need to cooperate in that. In growing in greater maturity because of the work of the Holy Spirit, which continues in us. The Christian believer grows in his love for God and one another, and that is what we are called to do. The Apostle John gives two examples of how a Christian believer matures in his love. One area he grows in his love for God is his assurance of his standing before God on the day of judgment. 1 John 4:17-18 says, by this love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also we are in this world. There is no fear in love, because perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. A believer grows in this confidence, which is not based on his own good works, but because we remain people who sin, but his assurance grows because of Christ's work for him and in him. There may be moments or seasons of doubt when a Christian believer lacks assurance of his salvation, but it is God's will that our assurance rest on the finished work of the cross of Christ for us. The Holy Spirit works in us to base our assurance that we are God's adopted sons through Jesus, and we need not flounder in insecurity about this. It is God's will that we have confidence on the day of judgment through what Christ has done for us. And so the Holy Spirit assures our hearts that when Jesus cried out, it is finished, he meant it. That was for us. He died for us and rose again. And therefore, let us affirm that what God says about Christ is true, that perfect love casts out fear. Another example of the Holy Spirit working in us is that he causes us to have a more mature love by growing in our love for one another. John warns us that the one who says he loves God but hates his brother is a liar. He urges us to stay true to our confession of faith in God by growing in love for our brothers and sisters in Christ, and that also means turning away from bitterness, hatred, and revenge. Even at times in which our relationships with others, we find ourselves being challenged in our heads and hearts to say, I have a hard time forgiving this person. Again, may we cry out, Lord, I want to forgive, increase my faith. Lord, I want to forgive, help me to forgive. Let me also say, as one more caveat to be mindful of, if you have been involved in a long time in an abusive relationship, it is important that you protect your own safety and security. And so in those particular instances, you need to love and forgive at a distance. At a distance for your own safety and security. But in all things, it is God's will that we love one another, we forgive one another, we have mercy on one another. And so let me repeat this last phrase, which I repeated twice and now the third time. Lord, have mercy upon us and incline our hearts to keep this law. Let us pray. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, implant in our hearts the holy desire to know your love and to imitate your divine love for us. We pray at the power of the Holy Spirit we may grow in the virtue of love day by day. This we ask through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.